would like to ask you this morning, if you will, to please turn your Bibles to the book of Romans. I would like to read from Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. I encourage you to go home and read this entire chapter. In fact, read chapters 9, 10, and 11. I think that there is a continuity there that needs to be understood. But in Romans chapter 11, I want to begin this morning in verse 17 and read through verse 25. In this passage of Scripture, of course, the Apostle Paul is writing to Gentiles. The Romans were Gentiles. And as he writes to these Gentiles, he tells them about God breaking off the Jews. Now, most of the ministry of Jesus Christ and the 12 apostles, most of their ministry was to the Jews. In fact, Jesus, when he sent the 12 apostles out, he told them to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He said that they were not to go to any city of the Samaritans. They were not to go to certain places, but they would go and preach to the Jews. So the ministry of Christ and the 12 apostles was primarily to the Jews. After Jesus and the apostles had preached to the Jews, the Bible says in John 1 that Jesus had come unto his own, and his own received him not. That is, the Jews, Jesus was a Jew, and the Jews did not receive him. They did not believe that Jesus was the Christ. Now, Paul is writing to the Gentiles, and he says, now you can look at how God dealt with the Jews, that God broke them off. They were separated from fellowship with God. And he says to the Gentiles, now he says, you better fear lest the same thing that happened to the Jews happen to you. And I believe that we are today very close to experiencing as Gentiles the same thing that the Jews experienced about 2,000 years ago when they were broken off because of their unbelief. I believe that America is to the Gentiles what Jerusalem was to the Jews. I believe that Jerusalem was the place of the center of religious activity for the Jews. And God blessed them, and God blessed Jerusalem. But then when they turned their backs on God and they went away from God, God brought His judgments on Jerusalem and on the Jews in a severe and a mighty way. They were broken off. And the Gentiles then were grafted in, and God sent Paul out to begin preaching to the Gentiles. Of course, Peter preached to Cornelius, but Paul was an apostle to the Gentiles, and now he's writing this letter to the Gentiles, and he says, I want you to remember how God dealt with the Jews, because God will deal with the Gentiles in the same way. God is no respecter of persons. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we need to look at how God dealt with the Jews, and we need to fear lest the same thing happen to us. I want to begin now in Romans 11, beginning in verse 17, as he uses an analogy. He says, now, I want you to think about a tree, and I want you to think about the roots of that tree, and I want you to think about the branches of that tree, and he compares the Jews to the branches of that tree, and he says, now, those branches were broken off, and you were grafted in to this tree. He's talking about an olive tree. He's going to use that analogy to show how the Jews were broken off, and the Gentiles were grafted in. Romans 11, beginning in verse 17, the Word of God says, and if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, now who is he calling a wild olive tree? That's the Gentiles. Some of the Jews, some of them were broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree. Now this is talking about Christ. Jesus Christ is this tree that we are grafted into. The root and the fatness of the olive tree. Boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. Now, There are at least 365 times in the Bible that God says, fear not. And what God tells us not to fear is men and the things of this world. Fear not those things, but trust in God. And at the same time, God commands His people, fear God. Fear God. This is the whole duty of man. Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14 says that fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. We are to fear God, and I'm talking about a reverential fear, and we're to be afraid of the things God will do to us when we walk contrary to His Word. I reverenced my daddy, but I was also afraid of my daddy. Did you know that? I was afraid that when I did wrong, he would get the belt, and he would get the belt. And when he said, go down the hall, and he went to that drawer, and I can still hear the sound of that, had little metal knobs on it, when he would open that up and it would jingle, I'd just start crying. Because in that drawer he kept a big leather belt. And brethren, the Bible teaches that whom the Lord loveth, he what? He chasteneth. And the Bible teaches about parents. If parents love their children, they'll chasten their children. I thank God I had a daddy that did chasten me. I feared him, and in that same way, we are to fear God, and yet we're to love God. And so he says here in Romans chapter 11 and verse 20, he says, be not high-minded, but what? But fear. Fear what? Well, we need to fear the same thing happening to us that happened to the Jews. In verse 21, he says, for if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Can we be broken off just like the Jews were broken off? Yes, he can. That's the warning he's giving. He says in verse 22, behold therefore. What does the word behold mean? It means stop, look, and listen. Pay attention to this. He says, behold therefore the goodness and severity of God. Do we need to look at the goodness of God? Do we need to think about the goodness of God? I'll tell you, if you want to think about good things, you think about the goodness of God and how good God has been to us. Every one of us, we could go through this building today, in spite of your problems and in spite of your troubles, you could stand up and declare how good God has been to us. God is good. Little children say, pray that prayer sometimes. God is great. God is good. Let us thank Him for this food. Well, God is good. And we need to behold the goodness of the Lord. Look at the goodness of God. Look at the goodness of God in your life. Look at all the good things God has done for you. Listen, brethren, God is good to all mankind. Let me first say that. God is good to all mankind. Even those who are not His children, God is good to them. The Word of God says He makes the sun to rise on the good and the evil, and He causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. Is there goodness of God that is manifest to all mankind? Yes, it is. There is goodness of God that is manifest to all mankind. But now, there is goodness of God that's just manifest to the children of God who are redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You and I can think about not just general goodness, but we can think about the goodness of God in saving us from our sins. You know, God was gracious to save me from my sins and save you from your sins. We can think about all the blessings that are ours just because we're part of the family of God, to be called the children of God. John says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Because we're called the children of God. It's a great blessing to be called the children of God. It's a great blessing to be a child of God. And what the Scripture says is, look at the goodness of God. Behold, therefore, the goodness of God. Look at the goodness of God. You know, we can think about the goodness of God to all of God's children, but then listen carefully. Not just think about the goodness of God on all mankind. Not just think about the goodness of God on all of His children. But listen, there's special goodness that God manifests to His children that love Him and serve Him and obey Him. Have you ever experienced some of that special goodness that God pours out in your life when you try to do what's right and serve the Lord? Now that's some special goodness that not all of God's family enjoys. That special goodness that not all mankind enjoys. And I need to look at how good God is to me every day. God is so good to me. And that's one of the reasons we sang the first song that we sang this morning was worthy of worship, worthy of praise. He's our Creator. He's our Sustainer. He's our Savior. He's all the world. He's everything to us. Everything that's good comes through Jesus Christ. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. All the blessings that we have, they come from God. And what does He say here we need to do? Behold. Behold, look at the goodness of God. Look at how good God's been to you. You know what will happen if you think about how good God has been to you? You know what will happen? If you'll wake up every morning, if you'll go to bed every night, if all during the day you'll just think about how good God has been to you, you know what it'll motivate you to do? It'll motivate, say it again, Brother Robert. Yes, you will. You'll be happy. You'll be happy. If instead of thinking about your, you know, Adam and Eve, did they have everything humans could want in the Garden of Eden? Everything anybody could want was there. It was a life of blessings poured out by God. And yet the devil came along and said, now, God said you can't eat of this one tree. And all Eve could think about was the one thing she didn't have. And did you know a lot of children of God today are not beholding the goodness of God. They're just thinking about one or two things they can't have or they don't have, and they're unhappy because they don't have one or two things they want. They're not looking at what? What are they not looking at? What does the Bible says here? Behold the what? Behold the goodness. Look at the goodness of the Lord. Look at the goodness of the Lord in your life. You know, David, when he wrote that 23rd Psalm, was he thinking about the goodness of the Lord when he said, what's the first statement David makes in the 23rd Psalm? The Lord is my shepherd. Oh, brethren, if there wasn't any other reason for us to think about and rejoice in the goodness of God, just having Jesus as your shepherd. And you know, if I was your shepherd, if I was the only shepherd, now I'm an under-shepherd, but if I was the only shepherd you had in this world, you'd have a lot of reason to worry. Did you know that? You'd have a lot of reason to worry. First of all, you'd have reason to worry because a lot of times I'm with somebody else and I can't be with everybody at the same time. But Jesus is the shepherd that can be with every one of His sheep wherever they are. He's a wonderful shepherd. And David says, the Lord is my shepherd. He is always with me. He is watching over me. He's protecting me. He's providing me. He's feeding me. The Lord is my shepherd. You know what David was doing right there when he wrote that psalm and he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know what he was doing? He was beholding something. He was looking at something. He was looking at the goodness of the Lord. Behold, therefore, the goodness of the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Can you declare that this morning? The Lord is your shepherd? That He's going to take care of you, He's going to watch over you, He's going to protect you, He's going to bless your life? Listen, if you're serving God, you can say, the Lord is my shepherd. You get away from the shepherd and you can't lay hold on that claim, but if you're serving God, you can hold on to that and you can look at the goodness of the Lord. We need to look at the goodness of the Lord. The goodness of the Lord. Behold, therefore, the goodness of the Lord. He says, behold, therefore, the goodness and the what? Severity of the Lord. Now, I can get real happy thinking about the goodness of the Lord. I can feel real comfortable thinking about the goodness of the Lord. I can rejoice thinking about the goodness of the Lord. But when it comes to beholding the severity of God, the only time I can behold the severity of God and have some kind of good feeling is if I'm thinking about the severity on the Lord on somebody that I don't like. Does that make any sense at all, what I'm saying there? Now, I know that's not right. His dear sister said, no, that's not right. And I know that's not right, but, you know, if you think about some countries that hate the United States of America, if God were to send some great tragedy there, I'd sit back and kind of behold the severity of God, and I'd have some kind of feeling, you gave them what they deserved. Do you know what I'm talking about? You don't? Well, you're a better person than I am, but I just want all of us to understand this. Listen, we're to behold the goodness of God, but we're also to behold the severity of God. It will cause me to fear when I behold the severity of God. When I look at how God dealt with Adam and Eve, and all they did was partake, you might say, well, that was something minor. They didn't go out and commit adultery. They didn't go out and get drunk. All they did was just partake of one tree that they were told not to partake of. Now, was that severe judgment that came on them? Was that severe judgment that came on them? Yes, sir. They were cast out of the Garden of Eden, and there were flaming swords put up there and cherubim, and they could not go back into that Garden of Eden. They couldn't go back in there. That was severe judgment. You look at Sodom and Gomorrah, those cities where wickedness prevailed with homosexuality there. And when that homosexuality persisted and they did not repent, the Bible talks about the great wickedness that was there. And the Scripture says that God sent down rain, fire, and brimstone on those cities. Those cities were destroyed by fire. Did you know God's the same God today as yesterday? And our nation is just about as corrupt as Sodom and Gomorrah. We condone, we defend, we endorse homosexuality. And that's an abomination in the sight of God. And I need to look at the severity of God. Our nation needs to look at the severity of God. I need to realize God's judgments will come on our nation unless we repent. I need to look at the shedding of innocent blood in the Word of God and how the Word of God talks about how severely God deals with people that shed innocent blood. And that's what's happening in America with abortion, is that we're shedding innocent blood. And we need to look at the severity of God, how He dealt with those nations when they condoned that, and how He's going to deal with America because we condone that same ungodliness. Behold, look at the severity of God. Look at it. Behold the severity of God. Look at the severity of God. It causes me to fear. Here's what the Word of God says. It says, them that sin, I want you to listen carefully to this. This is a natural illustration or a human illustration of what God is talking about. The Bible says, them that sin rebuke before all. Now what does that mean? That means if Brother Brian commits adultery, he's going to be brought before the church. He's going to be rebuked before the church if he was a member of the church. Everybody follow that? Everybody follow what I'm saying there? Them that sin, rebuke before all, that others may fear. Now what's he saying there? Well, church discipline has a purging effect in the one that's doing wrong, but it also has an effect on everybody else in the body because they all realize, if I do that, I will also be brought before the church. Them that sin, rebuke before all, that others may fear. Listen. When I behold the severity of God in the lives of other people who do things that are wrong, when I look at how God dealt with David, when David committed adultery with Bathsheba, that causes me to be afraid because God will do the same thing to me that He did to David. Them that sin, rebuke before all, that others may fear. When I look at the severity of God's judgments on people, it causes me to be afraid to do those things. Now, there's some things I do just because I love God. But there's some things I don't do just because I'm afraid of God. I believe as I grow spiritually, and listen carefully, I believe as I grow spiritually, I believe that I will just do things because I love God. But there are some things I do and don't do because I fear God. I need to behold the goodness of God and the severity of God. Who does He pour out goodness on? Who does He manifest so much goodness on? And who does He manifest severity to? In light of this passage of Scripture, who did God pour out goodness on? Let's look and see. In Romans 11, verse 22, let me ask you this before I read that again. Were all the Jews broken off? Were all the Jews broken off? Were all the Jews broken off? No, not all the Jews. But were many of the Jews broken off? Yes. Were the Jews as a nation broken off? Yes. And the Gentiles as a nation were grafted in. He says, behold therefore, look again at Romans 11, 22, behold therefore the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity. Now I want to just pause right there. On them which fell severity. On them which fell severity. Can you fall? Can you fall? Can you fall away from God? Yes, you can. Let me tell you. A few scriptures. Well, let me ask you this. Can this whole church fall away? Did you know whole churches can fall away? Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, the Word of God says that the church at Ephesus, He commended them and He says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." And then He says, "Repent therefore, and remember from whence thou art," what? "Fallen." Remember from where you've fallen. Have you fallen this morning? Have you fallen away? Have you backslid? Have you gone away from God? What do you need to do? You need to remember the severity of God on them which what? Fell. You remember that Jesus teaches us in Matthew 7, 24 through 27, "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man that built his house on the what? On the rock. On the rock. And the rains descended, and the winds blew, and the floods came, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. But the foolish man built his house on the sand. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not." Is he talking about obedience and disobedience in that passage of Scripture? "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, I will liken him unto a foolish man that built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it," what? "And it," what? "And it fell." It fell. What's the teaching there? If you don't obey God, you don't serve God, you're going to fall. And what's the teaching here in Romans 11, 22 about those who fell? On them which fell, what? What's the next word? Severity. "But toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in His goodness." Does everybody see that last phrase there? Look again at Romans 11, 22. "Behold therefore the goodness and severity of God on them which fell, severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in His goodness." If thou continue in His goodness. Doesn't matter how much you follow in His goodness, once you turn your back and fall away, judgments are coming. I need to look at the severity of God. How many of you have ever had children that did something wrong and came to you, just came to you? Before you caught them, they just came to you crying and said, "Mama, I did something wrong. Daddy, I did something wrong." How many of you ever had your children to do that? Came to you before you caught them. They came to you and told you what they did wrong. How many of you have seen your children do that? Hold your hand up. I want to ask you something. Now, how many of you, when they came to you and told you what they did wrong, before you found out that they did what was wrong, how many of you then got your belt and whipped them for what they did that was wrong? What's the point? How wonderful it is when God's dear children, before God sends His judgment. In other words, this morning, if you're not under the judgment of God and you haven't felt the severity of God in your life yet because of sin in your life, you know what you better do today? You need to run to your Heavenly Father. You need to repent and cry out to the Lord, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." You need to go to God and you just need to confess to God and to one another. You need to confess your faults and your sins one to another. You need to admit what you've done is wrong, and you need to beg God to have mercy on your soul. Beg God to forgive you. Beg your brethren to forgive you. Because you know what God will do if you repent before He brings His judgment? God will have mercy on your soul. I hope that God will help all of us this morning to behold the goodness and the severity of God. I want to ask you in closing to go with me to 1 John chapter 2. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. Look in your Bibles, please, at 1 John chapter 2 and verse 24. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 24. Is it important that we continue in His goodness? Continue in His goodness. Don't start and then back up. Don't start and then fall away. Don't start and then backslide. And if you do backslide, fall on your knees, beg for forgiveness, and get back on the right track. If you're on the wrong track this morning in any way in your life, I encourage you, I beg you, I exhort you, get back on the right track quickly before God comes and pronounces judgment. 1 John chapter 2, verse 24. 1 John chapter 2, verse 24, the Word of God says, Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. What's he saying here? Let this abide in you. What? Let this abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. What is it you've heard from the beginning? What is it? That's the Word of God. Let the Word of God abide in you. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. Can I stop being in the Son and in the Father? Now let me just say this. Let me back up just a minute. There are two ways that you are in Christ Jesus. Everybody listen to this. There are two ways that you are in Christ Jesus. Fundamentally and eternally, you were chosen. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4 and 5 says that you were chosen in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. Jude 1 says you are preserved in Christ Jesus. That kind of in Christ Jesus, nothing can separate you from. You follow that? But then there is being in Christ Jesus in our experience and in our fellowship. I'm in Christ Jesus in my relationship. Nothing can change that. I'm in Christ Jesus in my fellowship. That's very fragile. And that's what he says right here. If you continue in my word, if you continue and remain the words that I teach, if they remain in you and you continue in that word, then you will continue in the Son and in the Father. I want to continue in the Son. I want to dwell in the Son. I want to dwell in the kingdom of heaven. I want to dwell with Christ Jesus. I'm not talking about dying and going up there to be with Him. I'm talking about dwelling with Christ right here. I am the vine, Jesus says. I am the vine. Ye are the what? I'm the vine, ye are the branches. Every branch in me, that's talking about experientially, every branch in me that bringeth forth fruit, He purgeth it, so it'll bring forth more fruit. But every branch, listen carefully, every branch in me that bringeth not more fruit, bringeth not much fruit, shall be broken off and cast into the fire. Is that branch in Christ? Was that branch in Christ? Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He cuts it off. Were those Jews in Christ Jesus fundamentally? Did they stop being in Christ fundamentally? No. Were they in Christ Jesus experientially? Yes. Were they broken off from being in Christ Jesus experientially? Yes. Why? Because they did not continue in His Word. May God help us to behold the goodness and the severity of God, and remember it's on them which fail that severity comes, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in His goodness. May God help us, is my prayer for Christ's sake.